We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The following is a special presentation of the Munkin' St. Louis Honda Sports Open Line.
Welcome to the Strike Zone. Powered by Graybar, your source for electrical and data communications products for 150 years on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Well, a happy Thursday, everyone. Welcome in. Alex Ferrario with you. I'm sure everyone's pumped up for a little baseball conversation because it is back in 24 hours. It'll be back. Cardinals. Diamondbacks over at Busch Stadium tomorrow night, but happy to have you along with us tonight for the Strike Zone. Two straight hours of baseball talk. We'll talk Cardinals. We'll talk NL Central. We'll talk trade deadline. We'll talk prospects. We'll cover it all in the next 2 hours. As always, I know you got Cardinals questions. 314-436-7900 is our telephone number and text line. If you want to, you can tweet me at Ferrario KMOX. You could tweet us at KMOX Sports. Plenty to talk about right now with the trade deadline, with the Cardinals opening up a series, sitting at a 500 record, and of course, what everyone will do with the upcoming trade deadline. And you had some roster moves today for the Cardinals. We'll touch on that in just a couple of moments. We have plenty of guests as well. Jen Langosch of MLB.com is going to join us in about 16 minutes. She'll hop on with us tonight to get a little Cardinals second half underway and a great event that's taking place on Saturday at Busch Stadium for you to help save a life as a fan. So make sure you tune into that. 7 o'clock hour, we're going to talk Memphis prospects with Craig Unger, the president of the Memphis Redbirds, and Kyle McClellan will join us for the inside pitch. But we got to start with the moves today for the Cardinals, as not only is Matt Carpenter officially back, but you have two players being sent down, two being called up, and another headed to the injured list. Let's head over to Busch Stadium, where a couple of moments ago, Mike Shildt spoke.
Yeah, you know, we don't put a time frame on it, but you're looking at beyond the 10 days, similar to what he dealt with. It hadn't decreased or worsened or done anything that's, you know, created anything that's more problematic. It just hasn't healed as well. So he's kind of back to where he was a little bit. And just needs time. And what that time looks like, you're probably looking at within a 3 week range.
Well, Mike Shildt talking about Yadier Molina, who unfortunately is headed back to the injured list. Once again, that right thumb continuing to be an issue for the Cardinals catcher, as you heard, it's not just going to be 10 days, could be a little longer, could look to be about 3 weeks for Yadier Molina. And that's tough news because we know that that's an injury that's been nagging Yadier Molina for a long period of time, where, you know, what was it, last year he was out with significant time due to that right thumb. Same with this one, and just the offensive numbers since that right thumb has been nagging him has not been the same. Now, defensively, I mean, heck, what, he threw a couple of guys out the last game before the All-Star break at second base. So, you know, the defense is still there for Yadi, but it's the offense. That's what you need right now. And it's another one of those pillars that we talk about for this Cardinals club of getting things going in the right direction. You got to have Yadier Molina, who is so clutch for this team offensively. But right now, that right thumb is just acting up. So I guess on a positive note from that, you do have Matt Wieters, who has been very good for this team offensively when he's been called upon. He's been great defensively as well when he's been called upon. Hasn't been a lot, but at least you know what you have reliable behind the plate. So you got Matt Wieters, and then of course Andrew Kisner being called up for the Cardinals as well. Now, the other roster moves that have been made, as I mentioned, you have Tyler Webb and Rangel Ravelo both being sent down to AAA. It was a tough outing for Tyler Webb his last time out of the bullpen before the All-Star break, where he gave up 3 runs in 2/3 of an inning. But more importantly, surprising that they're sending him down, because he went 6 1/3 without giving up a run. It's pretty solid numbers for a left-handed reliever out of your bullpen, but the Cardinals are sending Webb down and they're bringing up Chasen Shreve. Here's Mike Shildt.
I felt like Tyler Webb did a nice job. I really did, you know, and especially against the lefties. And, you know, he served a lot of different roles for us. He pitched and got saves. He got some holds. He pitched multiple innings when we needed him. So I thought he did a good job. You know, he had his hiccups. It's also a function of Chasen Shreve being somebody that was acquired and has done what we'd like to see and the front office would like to see in Memphis. Now I like the opportunity to see him get a chance to do it here.
Now, I think that's the frustrating part. And I'm looking at this from a Cardinals fan's perspective, and I had a phone call. It was either yesterday or last week, a fan calling in saying that, you know, this is the problem. The Cardinals are just playing guys because they paid them. I disagreed with the caller at the time because if you look at it, you know, Matt Carpenter was a healthy scratch for some games. Same with Dexter Fowler, same with Harrison Bader. So they're not scratching guys or they're not playing guys because they need to give them innings. But to bring up Chasen Shreve in place of Tyler Webb is a little bit surprising. Now, look, Chasen Shreve has been very good for Memphis this season. And we'll talk about this with Craig Unger a little bit later on tonight. But if you look at the numbers for Shreve, he's 2-1 with a 3.80 ERA in 37 games for Memphis, which is 42 and two-thirds innings pitched. He struck out 50 and walked just 19. But since June 1st, he posted a 1.72 ERA in 15 and two-thirds of innings, 21 strikeouts in 3 walks. Now, the bigger problem for Chasen Shreve when he was up here last year was the home run ball. And looking at the number of home runs that he's given up this season for Memphis, total of 5. So 5 home runs given up in 42 and two-thirds innings. I agree 100% what Mike Shildt just said. He's proven, Chasen Shreve being, everything you need him to prove in the minors. But again, from June 20th up until July 6th, which was a total of 7 appearances, Tyler Webb gave up 0 runs. As a matter of fact, he only allowed 3 hits, and that was in one game where he pitched 1 2/3 innings with 2 strikeouts and 0 walks. He's been very reliable for this team, but he does hold a 4.45 ERA. So you want to see what you have with Chasen Shreve? I wouldn't be surprised if we see Tyler Webb back up here at some point before the end of the season. And of course, as I mentioned, Andrew Kisner coming up as well. And then it gets us to the other points. Marcelo Ozuna, an update on the injured outfielder.
Better. You know, he's people were encouraged by his work, encouraged by his strength. He's still got some inflammation that needs to be cleared up a little bit. He's improving where his baseline of his grip strength was prior to the injury. The good news is we have that baseline, and he's working towards it. He's optimistic how he's healing. The staff's optimistic how he's healing. The speed at which that'll take place to get his grip strength back will be a matter of time.
So, it doesn't sound like great news for Marcelo Ozuna, like he's coming back this weekend, but it does sound rewarding in the sense of you could be seeing him back sooner rather than later. I believe in the media scrum that Mike Shildt held today, he said that it's believable that we'll see Ozuna back before Yadi. A 3-week time frame for Yadi. So hopefully you see Ozuna back within a week or so. But then you got the case of him being out for a couple of weeks with no baseball because, of course, it was a hand injury. So you're going to have to try and get that swing back. So without Ozuna, what do you do? Well, right now you're going to be relying a lot on Matt Carpenter to turn things around. And we'll hear Mike Shildt talk about this in just a moment. But you need the pillars. Goldschmidt, Carpenter, to hit. I mean, that's the bottom line. If this team wants to be in the playoffs, it comes down to number 46 and number 13. You can argue that the starting pitching needs to be better, and we'll talk trade deadline at the bottom of this hour. But at the end of the day, if you have no offense from those two, you don't have a chance. But the argument now is what happens to the play time for Tommy Edmond and Jairo Munoz? Because with Carpenter back at third base, you would imagine he's going to be significant playing time. You're not going to be pulling Paul DeJong, who was your all-star, unless he continues a streak of hitless games. Colton Wong is your best defensive player. And Paul Goldschmidt, you need his bat to turn around, so you're not going to sit him. So without Ozuna, with Harrison Bader slumping, you know you got to have Jose Martinez in the lineup. Dexter Fowler is going to be in the lineup. Could we see Tommy Edman or Jairo Munoz in the outfield? Well, Mike Shildt talked about that.
Yeah, you know, it's a crowded place, the outfield, and it's not a, it's,
Well, those in-out, it's not quite as crowded.
It's not as crowded, no, that's more than fair. You know, it's, look, they can both do it, and so it's an opportunity. We mentioned earlier about double switches, and, you know, the double switches, you know, there's a lot of reasons for doing them. They're not really primarily to get guys at bats or to get guys either to improve your defense, create extra opportunity for, you know, to use a reliever for multiple innings, and then to create matchups for beyond that, you know, based on where the bullpen looks like, or at least make them think about how the bullpen needs to look and how they, you know, dictate theirs a little bit to them, but and the matchups. But, you know, it's good news is there's flexibility to it.
Well, that is good news because you need Edman or Munoz in your lineup at least until Carpenter and Goldschmidt start hitting. And again, we'll talk a lot about the offense that is going to be needed for this club. We'll talk about the pitching and who the targets could be at the trade deadline. But the big question now is Mike Shildt's evaluation of the team at the All-Star break and going into this second portion of the season.
You know, you get away from it, you take a break, mental break, physical break, and then you get back to the thinking about it and the clarity of it. And the fact of the matter is, if we score, we'll win this division playing the same caliber of baseball. You know, we need to maintain the caliber of baseball that we play, and that's elite defense and base running and do all the little things well. And, you know, clearly we're going to have our moments where, you know, guys are human, but, you know, we played the game well, you know, indicative of Paulie taking the bag in the All-Star game, looking for opportunities. This group is very opportunistic. We just need to, you know, we need to get, you know, get that offense going to where we can, you know, crank up, you know, a fair amount of runs and not feel like we got to win 2-1 or 3-1 or, you know, by a run every, you know, most of the games we got to put some damage out there. We do that, and we get the better version of our starting pitching consistently. You know, they're guys, I mean, look, they're going to have their moments. They're going to have their games, you know. But they have those that run together, what they're all capable of doing. They put it together, and we score runs. Watch out.
Let's hope so. Let's hope we're saying watch out to the Cubs and Brewers because they're going to be better. They're going to get better at the trade deadline. Who knows what the Reds and Pirates are going to do, but right now they're trending in the right direction while the Cardinals, Brewers, and Cubs are trending in the wrong direction. All starts tomorrow night. We'll talk more about that as we move along, but let's talk about this weekend. Let's talk about this Cardinals club and trade deadline with Jen Langosch, the senior manager of content for MLB.com. She joins us next on the Strike Zone, powered by Graybar. Alex Ferraria with you, hanging out on a Thursday night until 8 o'clock here on your home for Cardinals baseball, KMOX.
This is a special presentation of the Mungadas St. Louis Honda Sports Open Line.
Now, back to the Strike Zone. Powered by Graybar, your source for electrical and data communications products for 150 years on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Hanging out until 8 o'clock tonight, back in on KMOX. Alex Ferraria with you. Alex Muskoff hanging out with us as well as the Cardinals take their final day off before they start up with the Diamondbacks tomorrow night. They had an unofficial workout earlier today over at Busch Stadium. Ben Boyd, Sam Masterson were over there covering that for us here on KMOX. And I believe Ben and Sam said that it was Tommy Edman, Colton Wong, Matt Wieters, Daniel Ponce de Leon, all out there on that unofficial workout. And of course, as you heard, Mike Shildt talking a little bit about the team as well. But let's dive deeper into it as the unofficial second half starts up. I keep saying that, but it truly feels like that for me. You know, it's the stretch run right now, but, you know, let's dive into it with Jen Langosch, formerly the beat writer for MLB.com, now the MLB.com senior manager of content. Jen, it's great to have you pop on with us tonight. How are you tonight?
I'm doing well. Thanks for still inviting me back, even though I'm not covering the Cardinals anymore. No, I appreciate it.
No, you're big time now. Anytime you put senior manager in front of it, Jen, that means we have to have you on. That's how it goes.
It also makes me sound really old.
Oh, yeah. I don't know about that. I don't know about that at all. But how are you liking the new gig, though, Jen? It's got to be fun for you, right?
Yeah, it is. You know, it's my first kind of real big opportunity to supervise a bunch of reporters, and I'm excited to work with them on developing them as reporters and writers for MLB.com and also having a hand in kind of our content direction at the website. So you're not going to read my byline much, but I'm going to definitely still have a hand in what you read on the website. So so far so good, but I do look forward to getting back to the park every once in a while, even in my new role.
Yeah, and she's still going to make appearances every once in a while to Busch Stadium and around baseball, so it's always great to have Jen Langosch hop on with us. And we'll talk plenty of baseball in just a couple of moments, but Jen, I want to talk about a big event coming up this Saturday at Busch Stadium. Cardinals and Diamondbacks, but more importantly, it's an opportunity for fans to save a life. It's the fourth annual Join for Joe Marrow Donor Registry Drive, which of course is in honor of the late Joe Strauss. Just tell our listeners a little bit about this and how they can be involved with this.
Yeah, so this is something we started after our colleague and friend Joe Strauss passed away after a battle with leukemia in late 2015. And, you know, we wanted to find a way to honor his legacy while also helping those who are going through the same fight he did with blood cancer. And there was a natural connection for us to team up with the Cardinals and with Be the Match to host this bone marrow registry drive. As you mentioned, this is the fourth annual drive that we have had. And essentially what we're going to do is we're going to be out in Ford Plaza before the game and during the game, educating fans first off on what it means to be a bone marrow donor. I think there's a lot of misconceptions as to how invasive the procedure is or how long you might take for a donor to recover. So we'll have people out there who have donated before to talk to fans about that. And then most importantly, we're hoping to get folks to join the registry. All it's going to take is about 5 to 10 minutes, a little paperwork to fill out. We'll give you some swabs. You swab your cheek, and then those tissue samples are sent back and entered into the Be the Match registry. So if down the line there's a patient looking for a match, and you become that match, you'll be contacted and see if you want to go through with the donation. So we hope fans will come out and say hello. More importantly, again, we'll try to be this life-saving match for patients that don't have one right now.
And again, this is for the Saturday game, which is a 6:15 first pitch. And you guys said you'll be out there before the game, Jen, and during the game. How long before the game and how long during the game?
We will be there as soon as gates open at 4:15, and we will likely still be stationed until about 8 o'clock. And as I mentioned, it's a really quick process. So I know a lot of fans try to rush by because you want to get to your seats and do other things. I promise we won't take a lot of your time. If you don't want to sit there for the 5 to 10 minutes it takes to donate, we can also give you the information as to how you can order a swab kit online that can be sent to your house and you can send that back in. Specifically, we are looking for donors ages 18 to 44. We're also looking for diverse donors. I think one thing people don't realize is that most of the time these patients do not find matches within their family. That only happens 30% of the time. So right now there's more than 14,000 people out there that are essentially looking for a stranger to be their match, and we're hoping to be some of those matches this weekend.
You know, Jen, I witnessed this firsthand. When I was at school at Lindenwood, there was a student there who was going through the battle of leukemia, and someone did, they had the drive for that student, and then the next year they found a donor for him. And you don't understand what this truly means to someone if they find a match for that person that can save a life. And I know the Blues put a video up earlier this season of two fans that were a part of it that found each other. So it's just something that, like you said, you know, it seems like it's just something that you can pass by, but one match could save someone's life.
Yeah. And, you know, I think how often when we talk to somebody who's battling cancer or another disease, we say, oh, I wish there was something that I could do for you. Mm-hmm. Well, in this case, there is. And, you know, when it comes to leukemia and lymphoma and other blood cancers, there really is something that we can do to help those people out. Here in the St. Louis area, we all know the story of Layla Anderson. She's actually going to be joining us at the stadium on Saturday to celebrate this day and encourage more donors. She found her match for her transplant through the Be the Match Foundation. And so we're, again, hoping to kind of sustain the momentum that we've seen here in the city for this cause, and of course honor Joe's legacy as well.
Yeah, and the best part about it is if you can't make it to the game or if you're not going to be at the game, you can check out the Be the Match, like you mentioned, the website, and people can still be a part of this and find an opportunity to save someone's life. So again, that's Saturday, a 6:15 first pitch, and the gates open 4:15, and you go find it. Where are the section at, Jen, for fans to come find you guys at?
We will be out in the Ford Plaza, and for those who are unable to attend the game or don't come and see us, as you mentioned, you can do it online. And we actually have a link set up at cardinals.com/join4joe, the number 4, so you can register anytime from home.
That's excellent. Again, we're talking with Jen Langosch, the senior manager of content for MLB.com, joining us now here on the Strike Zone, powered by Graybar. And Jen, it's kind of crazy to sit here and talk about the games getting back in action because it feels like forever since we've seen the last one. Of course, the All-Star break, and you know, we always joke around this time, this is like the worst time in professional sports because there's just literally nothing going on. As soon as the All-Star game's over, it's just dead until the season starts back up.
Yeah, you know what? They should have had NBA free agency start this week, right? It would have given us something to talk about. But, you know, I think adding to the fact that, you know, there's this 4-day window for the All-Star break is that the Cardinals being on the West Coast for so long, they've not only not been in St. Louis, but with some of those late games, it just feels like a long time since we've been able to watch a lot of what's going on. You know, the team getting back in action with, I think, what's a very big homestand is going to kind of set the tone here for the second half of July and, you know, perhaps play a role in whether the Cardinals become not necessarily sellers, but whether they become buyers or maybe standstillers toward the trade deadline.
I like that, standstillers. And I think that's what's on everyone's mind right now, Jen, is, you know, what is this team going to do? Because you're a 500 club. You haven't shown signs of being a team that could do something in the playoffs. But on the flip side of that, you're two games behind the Cubs of a really bad, stagnant NL Central, where one trade could alter a season for this team.
Yeah, and the flip side of that, though, is also that one trade for Chicago or Milwaukee or maybe even Cincinnati or Pittsburgh could also alter the landscape of this division. And so it's not only what are the Cardinals going to do here over the next 2.5 weeks, it's what are these other teams in the NL Central going to do. But yeah, I mean, you can look at this half glass empty or half full because this team has obviously played less than expected baseball to this point, but so has everybody else in the division. So it's still there for the taking. I do, though, think that if the players want to make management a little more confident in what this group is moving forward, they're going to have to play better baseball coming out of the break. And that might nudge this franchise into being a little bit bolder at the trade deadline, something we haven't seen in the last couple years. So quite frankly, no matter what moves the Cardinals do or don't make this month, I think ultimately their season is going to be mostly defined by how some of these players potentially bounce back after poor first halves. I mean, if Paul Goldschmidt and Matt Carpenter don't come around, it's just hard to see this Cardinals team competing deep into the season.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. When you say bold move there, Jen, let's say hypothetically this team does come out of the gate on the unofficial second half rolling, and the Cardinals do decide to make a move. What makes sense for this team? Starting pitching or going to find another bat?
I mean, gosh, you could argue both. To me, I think it's starting pitching. And again, because I think so much hinges offensively on a lot of the pieces that you already have. And a lot of those pieces aren't going to be replaced, right? I mean, you can look at the little production you're getting from first base, but you're not going to go out and get another first baseman.
Right.
You're not going to go out and get another third baseman. Outfield, you have enough depth. I look at the starting pitching and I don't see a frontline ace type starter on this staff. I see a bunch of 2s, 3s, and 4s. And while they had a very nice month of June, I'm just not sure that they have enough pitching to take them deep, not only into the season, but obviously if they get into the postseason to make a run. So if I were this club, I would prioritize starting pitching. The good news for them is there's going to be a lot of it on the trade market, and some of that will crystallize over the next couple weeks when teams like, for instance, the Indians decide if they're going to be buying or selling. But if I were the Cardinals, I see that need. I think the developments with Alex Reyes this season, with Carlos Martinez now being needed in the bullpen, there's a lack of starting pitching depth that I didn't anticipate would be there this year.
And, you know, again, you're talking offense here and saying that you're hoping for those turnarounds. The pitching has been the weakest area in that rotation, other than a couple of bright spots here and there from an Adam Wainwright or a Dakota Hudson. But the guys that you were relying on haven't been able to put up the numbers. But it's incredible, Jen, because we're sitting here talking about you need to have a turnaround for Paul Goldschmidt and you need a turnaround for Matt Carpenter. But on the flip side of that, you also need to find playing time for Tommy Edman and Jairo Munoz, because these are two guys that going into the All-Star break were the only reason you were finding offense.
Yeah, that's a fair point. And, you know, now that Matt Carpenter is back off the injured list, I would envision that he's going to get regular playing time again. Maybe we'll see a little bit more split playing time at second base. That's an opportunity to get those two guys involved a little bit more. But, I mean, the reality is as nice as Tommy Edman played there leading into the break and as much of a jolt as Jairo Munoz can give this team, I just don't think that either of those guys is going to propel this team to where it wants to be at the end of the season. Matt Carpenter has that ability. I mean, we saw that over the course of 4 months last year, and we've seen that for the most part over the course of his career. And so, you know, his bat, I think, has to be a priority because the Cardinals need it to get somewhere. But certainly, I think, if anything, the fact that they have a little better depth and a little more potency coming off the bench can only serve this team well moving forward.
What provides optimism for you, Jen, that Paul Goldschmidt can have a turnaround in the second half?
His baseball card. I mean, I look at the back of his baseball card and you see year after year the consistency that he has provided offensively. And You know, I know he's getting older, and yes, I know that there's an age regression that's going to hit at some point. I just don't think he's old yet, and I don't think that regression is as sharp as maybe it's looked so far in the first half. So I think his track record speaks for itself. He is a guy who, when he's gone through downs, always finishes with numbers very similar to previous years in the past. So, you know, again, you kind of look at keys and factors to the Cardinals finishing strong this second half. I think he tops the list, but I do think he is more than capable of generating that kind of production.
Well, and it'll be interesting, too, with the injury situation. As you mentioned, you know, Matt Carpenter coming off the injured list as we go into tomorrow night's game. But Yachty's headed back to it with that right thumb issue, which has just kind of been bugging him all season. And as we've seen in the past, Jen, when that right thumb's bugging Yachty, he's not right. Offensively, defensively, he's just not what you need from him.
Yeah, and this is a concern because this thumb has been bothering him for quite a while, and he had hoped to kind of nip it in the bud a while ago. He didn't. The good news for the Cardinals, I guess, relative, you never want to use Yachty. You lose Yachty or Molina. I mean, don't understate that. But they have better backup options this year than probably at any other point during at least my tenure here in St. Louis. I mean, Matt Wieters has done a really excellent job both behind the plate and at the plate. And you have a guy named Andrew Kisner who you should be very excited about what his future may bring. So, again, not to say that Yadier Molina is replaceable by any means, but perhaps the Cardinals can weather this a little bit. I think what's important is that the Cardinals and Yadi take the time for him to heal completely, because this is a guy you're going to need down the stretch, and you don't need a situation where you try to rush him back too quickly to where every few weeks this becomes a recurring issue.
We got a couple more minutes with Jen Langosch before we let her go. And Jen, we talked a little bit about this Central Division and how incredible it is for how close teams are. And, you know, yes, the Cubs and Brewers are going to be better, you would expect, from what they've been in this first half. But more importantly, It's amazing what the Cincinnati Reds and Pittsburgh Pirates are doing. I mean, you got an MVP status like Josh Bell. You have the pitching of the Cincinnati Reds. And even if they cool off, there's still specific points of those two teams in the Central that could put a lot of pressure on the three teams above them.
Yeah, and they're going to play a huge role in who wins this division, even if it's not one of them, which it's, you know, probably unlikely to be. But, you know, I look at Cincinnati in recent years, they've always had the offensive potential, and they've continually lacked that pitching. Their starting rotation has been really impressive this year. So they're going to continue to be a force. The Pirates always are. You know, I don't think either of those teams is going to be a buyer at the trade deadline in the sense of buying for this year. But I think you can see both teams be aggressive in trying to find pieces that maybe do help them this year, but are also long-term pieces. Like, for instance, what we saw of Pittsburgh last year when they went after a guy like Chris Archer, who they knew would be there for the foreseeable future. But yeah, I mean, Cincinnati and Pittsburgh have certainly, essentially, they've made this division tougher in that there are five quality teams, but they're also going to dictate, I think, what we see in terms of where these standings are at the end of the year based on how they play their division opponents.
It's going to be a fun stretch run as we head into trade deadline talk now until the end of July. You can follow along with it all season long with Jen Langosch on Twitter at LangoschMLB, or you can check out her work at MLB.com. Jen, we always appreciate you coming on with us. Again, it's Join for Joe Bone Marrow outside the Ford Plaza, or in the Ford Plaza, I should say, starting at 4:15 on Saturday. And fans, make sure you stop by and check that out. Jen, thank you so much for hopping on with us tonight and telling us about the event on Saturday. And good luck the rest of the way this season with the new job.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
There you go. Jen Langosch, one of the best. And as always, follow her on Twitter at LangoschMLB. It's so funny to sit here and talk about the Cubs and Pirates because, you know, I had a phone call last night that said, what makes you think that they're going to be better? Because they're this good and they're only two games up on the Cardinals. Well, and it's the injury. I mean, Kyle Hendricks is coming off the injured list for Tuesday's start, which, I mean, I'm not saying that's going to turn things around, but he had a 3.49 ERA. I mean, he was one of their best pitchers. Their best pitcher is Cole Hamels, who we'll have to wait to find out because his was an oblique strain and they're going to have a timetable after the All-Star break. But, I mean, that's two guys right there. And on top of it, Craig Kimbrell, who they added, and a trade deadline move. The Brewers are going to find starting pitching. And we'll talk trade deadline coming up in our next segment. But the trade deadline is filled with starters. Bauer, Boyd, Wheeler, Bumgarner, Syndergaard's name's been out there. Who's got the better prospect pool and who's willing to give up the most? Cardinals have a good prospect pool, but are they willing to give guys up? The Brewers are.
They made it known that they're willing to do that. So that's going to be the intriguing factor when it comes to the NL Central. And then, of course, you know, yeah, the Reds and the Pirates aren't going to be buyers. I don't know if they're going to be sellers either. I mean, who do you sell on either of those teams? It's going to be fun. And again, the NL Central is so interesting because, look, the Cubs start three games against the Pirates tomorrow night. And there's a lot of NL Central battle the final portion of the season. So you could be looking at playing, you know, six games against the Cincinnati Reds the final 2-3 weeks of the season, which could dictate where you end up in the division and in the wild card race. So we'll take a break here on the Strike Zone powered by Graybar. We'll come back, talk trade deadline, because I know fans are wanting to find that ideal player to trade for. Who is it, and what do you have to give up for him? We'll touch on that next here on the Strike Zone on KMOX.
It's a special presentation of the Mungadas St. Louis Honda Sports Open Line.
Now, back to the Strike Zone. Powered by Graybar, your source for electrical and data communications products for 150 years on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Final time this hour. Still a whole nother hour of the Strike Zone powered by Graybar coming your way. Kyle McClellan will talk Cardinals and talk All-Star Game and talk juiced baseballs with us at 7:15. And we'll get into a little Memphis Redbirds prospect talk with Craig Unger, the president of the Memphis Redbirds. But now our final couple of minutes, talk a little trade deadline for the Cardinals. John Morosi of MLB.com put an article out today talking about how Will Smith, not the actor, the pitcher, looks like a likely trade option for the Cardinals. And as much as we talk about the upgrade for pitching and how much they need it, I don't know if bullpen is it. Like, the bullpen has been fairly good. Like, that has been the lone bright spot for this team this season, other than the defense and the base running. I mean, without Jordan Hicks, Carlos Martinez is a legit closer for you. John Gant, John Brebbia, despite a little bit of a hiccup towards the end of that first half, were still very solid for the Cardinals. Andrew Miller has been getting better. Not great, but much better. And then look, you're sending down a Tyler Webb who pitched almost seven straight innings without giving up a run. And you're bringing up a Chase and Shreve. You have a Junior Fernandez who is pitching very well in the minors for the Cardinals. The bullpen seems to be an area that, yeah, you can upgrade it, but it would be secondary upgrading. You need to find rotation help. We just talked about that with Jen Langosch. And, you know, she mentioned the name Trevor Bauer from Cleveland, who, yes, I'm on board with that. I don't know if Cleveland's going to be willing to be a seller, though. And if they are, they're going to want to sell to get back someone who can fill the void that they just sold off. A younger version, you know, maybe a Jack Flaherty for a Trevor Bauer, which I don't know if the Cardinals should do that, despite the struggles of Jack Flaherty. Zach Wheeler has been connected to names like the Yankees and the Brewers. You know, the two that keep popping up are Madison Bumgarner from San Francisco and Marcus Stroman. And I haven't heard Stroman's name as much around the Cardinals because I don't know if Toronto's willing to make that deal, but Bumgarner's a rental. Stroman, you at least have another year of control, and Stroman has the makings of potentially living up to be a number one or at least a number two pitcher for you. I mean, a 3.18 ERA with a 1.26 whip this season, it's hard to find that in a rotation. And, you know, Bumgarner is a proven ace, but he's, I don't want to say he's past his prime because I still think Madison Bumgarner's got something in him, but, you know, maybe a change of scenery. But again, that's a rental and you're going to be trading a lot to get him. But here's the thing. If you want this starter that could be a future number one pitcher for you, you're going to have to be willing to give up a lot. I'll go back to the Chris Archer trade for Pittsburgh last year. I mean, they traded Tyler Glasnow, Austin Meadows, and Shane Baz. Two of those three have been incredible for Tampa Bay this season, and they were both top prospects. So you're looking at a top prospect that's a pitcher and a top prospect that's a position player. Are you willing to walk away from a Dylan Carlson
and or a Alex Reyes. You know, Alex Reyes is a little different, I guess, because of the struggles, but that's the price you're going to pay to get that number one starter. But if it were me and I'm paying a price, I want to get a guy who's got a little control and a guy who's got a lot of upside. And Marcus Stroman, along with Trevor Bauer, to me, seems like the right fit. We'll talk more Cardinals. We'll talk more trade deadline and other headlines in the second hour of The Strike Zone, powered by Graybar on KMOX.
This is a special presentation of the Munganass St. Louis Honda Sports Open Line.
Now, back to The Strike Zone, powered by Graybar, your source for electrical and data communications products for 150 years on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
2-2. Lifted out to right. Cole getting behind it. Mariznick, good speed. The catch is made. Here comes the throw to the plate. And Luke Roy is bowled over as Mariznick scores. And the Astros lead it 11-10. And Luke Roy is hurt.
Yeah, what turned out to be a pretty severe injury for Jonathan Luke Roy is, boy, just rewatching that video, you could see immediately that Luke Roy was concussed. Like, immediately. And that was a hell of a play at home plate. And unfortunately, it didn't go in the direction of Jake Mariznick. Back in on the Strike Zone, Alex Ferrario with you for another hour. Brought this up because found out today that Jake Mariznick is going to have a 2-game suspension for that collision at home plate. A lot of people around Major League Baseball were up in arms for the way that that took place, including Yadier Molina, who we've all seen his posts on Instagram about how frustrated he was for that play and how that play is supposed to be out of the game, and rightfully so. Now, I'll let you make your opinion however you see fit after you hear from Jake Mariznick. I'm going to play it in a couple of seconds for you. Watching the play, though, after you could see how visibly upset Jake Mariznick was. Like, as soon as he got up, he ran right over to Luke Roy and was tapping Luke Roy on the chest, asking if he was okay. He was over by his manager in the dugout, and you could just see kind of how everyone was trying to calm him down, being Jake Mariznick, because of how stressed out he was from what took place. Now, the argument could be, well, then why did you do it? Well, you're Mariznick.
I've watched the play, and I've seen it from different angles, and from some angles it looks bad. And I would urge people to watch. There's an angle from our dugout, I believe. And if you watch it, you can see the moves that I'm talking about. And the lunge that people see of me making lunge moves at him to make impact with him is me trying to clear all the way to the inside, and that's why I'm so far inside. And the play took him a little bit more inside than I anticipated. And if you're watching from that angle, you see me try to get out of the way. So I would really like to talk further with MLB about this play.
I don't think it's going to change anything. I think MLB has their mind set on something like that. And again, that is the play that needs to be taken out of this game because of the severity of it. I mean, Luke Roy's an older player. He's got a concussion. Who knows if he can make a return from this? Like, it was a severe hit. You could tell how dazed he was laying on the ground. Now, my opinion, if you wanted to avoid him, you could have avoided him. I mean, it's the same rule that goes in hockey. Like, you have your moment to get out of the way, regardless if you're being pushed, and I'm talking hockey here, obviously not baseball, regardless of momentum being pushed, you have your opportunity to not throw your entire body at someone. And in Jake Mariznick's case, I can understand what he's saying because you can see him go wide, but you don't cause a concussion unless you go full force into him. And if you're trying to avoid them, which you're supposed to be doing, look, Luke Roy wasn't blocking the plate. If you try to avoid him, you're not putting your full body into him, which you're not causing a concussion, in my opinion. So as much as Jake Mariznick is talking about how he didn't anticipate the play to happen that way or Luke Roy to be positioned where he was running, you could have avoided it. And that's Well, I mean, that's going to be a precedent that's set for Major League Baseball the rest of the way. Like, we really haven't seen any plays like that in a while in baseball since the rule changed. I can't remember the last time we've had a severe collision at home plate. And now Mariznick has done that. Now all eyes are focused. They've suspended him. Things will change from that. And again, a lot of things will change because of how up in arms some MLB players are. And you know, Mariznick went on to talk about how, you know, everyone in baseball is a family. He's not going out. And I didn't think he was going out there to try and hurt the guy. Like, that was obvious because of how frustrated he was. And he talks about how guys are family in baseball and nobody would want to do something like that. But again, if you wanted to avoid him, you could have avoided him. And I think that's where most of the frustration comes from. So Mariznick will be suspended for 2 games. And I'd be surprised if we see something like that again this season in Major League Baseball. Well, welcome back to the Strike Zone here on a Thursday night. Alex Ferrario with you. It's time now to get the inside pitch. We welcome in our favorite former Cardinal pitcher now, Kyle McClellan. Kyle, I haven't talked to you in a couple of days. That's what that All-Star break does, right? Gets us away from each other. Gets us away from each other.
I enjoyed it.
Why not, right? That's the whole purpose. See, we think the All-Star break's for the players to take a break, but really it's for us to take a break from talking about the players, right?
That's right.
Well, Kyle, I got to say, though, it was a fun All-Star game to watch, and it's so funny. I want to pick your brain on this with the talk of the juiced ball right now in baseball, but it's so funny. That was the talk before the All-Star game, and then in the All-Star game, you had 2 home runs hit and 16 strikeouts on one side, completely opposite of what they were talking about.
Well, I think, you know, numbers certainly are showing that the game is trending that direction. And I don't know if it's the balls or it's just what the focus has been of the players, of kind of the approach that they're taking and what they're trying to do. But certainly, you know, there's more home runs being hit. And from a pitcher standpoint, I absolutely agree. They should do away with all home runs. We shouldn't even have to mess with that. Make the guys keep the ball on the ground, keep it in the ballpark, and everything will be a lot better.
I'm okay with that. It would make the game a lot more entertaining, that's for sure. And I'm sure it would make pitchers' lives a lot easier, too. But you could see the frustration and hear the frustration from guys like Justin Verlander and guys like Max Scherzer, Kyle. But as a pitcher, when you know that that ball is abnormally going out of the park more than what it should be, what does that do to the mind when you're on the mound?
Well, I think that's why we're seeing more walks, too, because if guys are getting behind, they're still trying to be perfect instead of pitching a contact, you know, early on. When you get in those bad counts from a pitcher standpoint, it's tough. It's tough to groove it in there and know, you know, you got to be able to throw your breaking ball behind in the count. That's a big difference of major league pitchers versus minor league pitchers. And you just know if you get in those situations where you have to throw a fastball and the hitter knows it's coming, that you might not get that ball back. And it's a tough spot to be in, which I think is why we're seeing more walks. We're seeing deeper pitch counts and starting pitchers not able to go as long into the game.
You know, it's funny. I was talking with someone the other day about this, and they said that the amount of home runs that we're seeing and the talk of juiced balls right now is mostly because it seems like Major League Baseball is trying to find another big Maguire Sosa run. Like, they're trying to think that home runs are what brings fans to the game. And it's hard to agree with that, Kyle, because what I think people like more are when you get players on first and you move them over from first to third on a single and you score on a sacrifice fly and a play at a plate. Like, that to me is more entertaining baseball.
Yeah, I agree. And I think most people would agree with you, but look, baseball has changed more. I was talking to a lot of people about this a couple of weeks ago in a big setting, but baseball's changed more in the last 10 years than it's probably changed. Mike Shannon and I were talking about it in spring training. He said it's changed more in the last 10 years than the past 100 years is what his quote was. And it has. And you know, I don't really like it, to be honest with you. I think the game now, it's not a very exciting game. It's not a very entertaining game. And I think baseball is trying to scramble to do all this. And, you know, in the Atlantic League, they just put in the robot umpires.
Yeah.
And they're toying around with moving the mound back and a couple of where you can steal first base. I mean, you know, come on, what are we doing here? Let's leave the game the way it's supposed to be and just let it go. And players are going to evolve, and that's fine. But I think some of the decisions and the rules that they're making to try to engage different fan bases. You know, the game's been around a long time, and people have enjoyed it, and I think they're starting to turn people off versus turn people onto it.
Well, and I really feel like baseball has to be careful here, Kyle, because as much as they want to continue to evolve the game and try out new things, you don't want to get under the skin of the Players Association side, because, look, you're already on thin ice when it comes to the free agency status of all of these big name players that aren't being signed until after the draft, so the teams don't have to give up first picks. But then you're also talking about the juiced ball and affecting the pitchers, and you're seeing more blisters. I know Derek Gould put it in his article today. You're getting into territory where you're going to start to see sides far apart from each other.
Well, I think this negotiating contract is going to be interesting. This next CBA, the players have been very outspoken, more so than I can ever recall being outspoken about some of these things, and I feel like the players got taken on the last CBA in a lot of different areas, and I feel like that they're going to try to get some of that back. And, you know, just like you said, you bring in some of these new things that players aren't really excited about. You know, you're eliminating jobs with making left-handers come in and face three hitters and, you know, things like that. So it's definitely, this next CBA could be interesting.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Again, we're talking with Kyle McClellan, our inside pitch here on the Strike Zone, powered by Graybar. And Kyle, on the Cardinals side, things start up tomorrow night against the Diamondbacks. And I would say this and the next series are two huge series for this Cardinals club. I know it's still kind of the middle of July, but what, you're 20 days away from a trade deadline, two games out of a playoff spot, but you're a 500 club. You really need to show the front office, if you're the Cardinals clubhouse right now, that you're a contender rather than a pretender.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how they handle that. I think up to this point, you know, if I'm sitting there with the front office, it's one thing. They're in a tough spot because it's like, okay, we could go out and win the Central, but do we think we can win past that?
Right.
And is it worth leveraging some of these younger players that we're going to have to give up? And that's a tough spot to be in. And I don't think they've really convinced that they can hang with the Dodgers or Atlanta in the other division, you know, in some of those teams. So they're in a tough spot right now. I think the first couple games or first week is going to be important. But I tell you what, I went back and looked at their schedule for the next 6 weeks, and it is tough.
Yeah.
There is a lot of NL Central games, and there's also, you know, they're not playing the San Diegos and the Seattles anymore. They had that stretch, and they didn't capitalize on it. And it's going to be interesting to see what they're able to do in this 6 week stretch here, because it's going to separate them pretty quickly. Because if you go back and look through it, it's a pretty tough part of the schedule here coming up.
Yeah, and it's actually amazing, not just on the Cardinals side, but for the Cubs and the Brewers as well. If they don't start turning things around, I mean, heck, the Cubs start a series with the Pirates tomorrow night. You got a possible MVP candidate in Josh Bell for Pittsburgh right now, Kyle. You have mm-hmm. the pitching, which is dominating for the Cincinnati Reds. You could be looking at a situation where the Cincinnati Reds and Pittsburgh Pirates could kick one or two teams out of the NL Central out of a playoff chance.
Yeah, and that's, you know, I think coming in, we all thought that Cincinnati was going to be better than they've been. I don't think we thought they would compete for the division, but they were definitely going to be better. Pittsburgh always is, even when you think – I feel like they get better when you think they're going to be worse. Like, you know, they trade away some of their top guys, and you think, oh, they're going to have a rebuilding year. But their young guys that they bring up usually do a good job. I think Clint Hurdle does a good job over there, and he's going to have them in there. So you got all five teams in the division that have a chance here, and they're going to be going at it. And for those guys, they're dangerous, because if you show young players that they have life and opportunity for a postseason of teams that weren't expected to be there or don't have the experience that the other three at the top have, sometimes that can get them going and really, you know, get some excitement going on that team and give them a great run.
Well, and that is like the description of what the Pirates team is, a bunch of younger guys who weren't expected to do anything. But you know what's so funny? The Cincinnati Reds side, Kyle, is a group of players that are probably pissed off because Yasiel Puig and Alex Wood that were traded away from the Dodgers, Joey Votto, Eugenio Suarez, guys who weren't expected to do much, looked at as not much, but are also 4.5 games out of first in the Central.
Yeah, they've done a good job of keeping them right there. And, you know, we saw it last year when the Cardinals played Cincinnati, the first few series, they looked horrible. And when we saw them at the end of the year in September, they were a totally different team. And their starting pitching was good. They had a lot of young talent that was really impressive. And you could tell, like, this team's coming. They start adding a few veteran pieces in there. And next thing you know, they're a team that's going to be, you know, right around that 500 and for this year. But right now, they're kind of knocking on the door and putting some pressure on the team.
We found out some tough news today, Kyle. Of course, Yadier Molina headed to the 10-day injured list. That right thumb still causing some issues for him. The good news about that is you have a Matt Wieters who has mm-hmm. been very good when he gets called upon. But the bad news is that right thumb has been something that's been nagging Yadi for the last couple of years.
Yeah, it definitely has, and it's something, you know, that he's taken some abuse with on his swings and that, and he's tried to power through it, but you know, it's good right now, timing-wise. You get him some days off before the All-Star break. He has the All-Star break a few days after. And Matt Wieter signing has been a really good signing for the Cardinals. Mm-hmm. He hasn't played a whole lot up until recently. I mean, he hardly ever played. But he jumped in there. He's had some huge home runs for him. And, you know, he handles the staff really well from a defensive standpoint and calling a game. So a guy that I think was a great pickup for them in spring training, brings a lot of veteran leadership and experience to that backup role. And he's done a really nice job.
One more for you, Kyle, before we let you go. Adam Wainwright back on the mound tomorrow night. I'm very intrigued to see how Waino does after the All-Star break, because he was, no question, one of their best pitchers going into that All-Star break. And as we've talked about numerous times on the pregame show, the further he moves away from that hamstring injury, the more dominant I think you'll see Adam Wainwright be.
Yeah, he's been great. It's been a great year for him to watch him. You know, his arm seems healthy. Fastball has the best life I've seen in the last probably 2.5 years, probably since that Achilles injury that he had.
Wow.
His fastball's got a lot of life. His curveball's been good, and he's been consistent. You know, there's been stretches over the last two seasons where he goes out there and, you know, he's had some rough stretches, and right now he's been extremely consistent, and his strikeouts have been up for more than we've seen in the last few years. So he's definitely been in a really good spot all year, and I think as that hamstring gets more and more healthy, which hopefully after this break, he'll be back to 100%. I think he's going to have a strong second half.
Kyle McClellan back into the swing of things. Our pregame show starts tomorrow night. You just get more of Alex and Chris Raby and Tom Ackerman for the next 3 months, buddy. Just what you wanted, right?
Yeah, I'll be all right. I'll deal with it.
All right, Kyle, have fun the rest of the night. We'll talk tomorrow.
All right, thanks, Alex.
There you go. That's Kyle McClellan. By the way, what Kyle was referencing there with those rule changes in the Atlantic League, Bob Nightingale put this out, 4 new rules that were announced. Pitcher required to step off the rubber in order to attempt a pickoff. 1 foul bunt is permitted with 2 strikes before strikeout is called. So if they're trying to speed up the game, that's not doing it. Check swing rule made more batter friendly. So I guess they're not going to be such a stickler on that. But then this is the one that it makes no sense to me. So the batter is able to steal first on any pitch not caught by a catcher. So it could be a 2-0 count. The ball is thrown in the dirt, bounces a little bit away from the catcher, and the pitcher or the batter can run to first and try and beat the throw. One, why would you ever see that? Because to me, unless the ball is going to the backdrop, you're not going to make that. How many times do guys make that on dropped balls on third strikes? Rare, unless you get an error at first base. But then on top of that, like, you're trying to speed up the game, I guess, if that's what baseball's doing, which seems to be all they're trying to do. But, like, I don't know, it just doesn't make any sense to me. So if the batter's going to steal first on any pitch like that, then you're going to have other stolen bases. Maybe it makes it more exciting. I don't know. I'll have to wait to find out. But, I mean, we already know that the AAA, or was it AA, that were trying, once it gets to extras, to put a player at second base before extras even starts. So finding more ways. Again, it's like what I talked about with Kyle. Like, it seems Major League Baseball is just trying to find another spark, like Maguire Sosa's home run race. And when they find it, they're going to run with it. But the sad part is I don't think they found anything close to that yet. And the players aren't happy. Derek Gould has an incredible piece out in the Post-Dispatch talking about, you know, Verlander talking about juiced balls and how they're flying out of the park and talking about how guys are getting more blisters this season because of the heightened creases on the baseball, which is ticking off some players and agents. You're getting to the point where it could cause some problems between the Players Association and Major League Baseball. As Kyle said, it's going to be a very intriguing conversation when it comes to the contract negotiation between those two sides. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to welcome in Craig Unger, get some updates on some prospects in AAA, Alex Reyes, Chasen Shreve, who's been recalled for the Cardinals, and Talk a little Jake Woodford, who pitched in the All-Star game yesterday. So that comes your way in a couple of minutes next on the Strike Zone, powered by Graybar, on your home for Cardinals baseball, KMOX. Welcome back Thursday night. A couple more segments of the Strike Zone. It's time now that we build the future, always powered by Graybar, your source for electrical and data communications products for 150 years. As to do so, we head to Memphis and welcome in the president of the Memphis Redbirds, the AAA affiliate for the Cardinals, Craig Unger. Talking a little prospects with Craig. We'll talk a little soccer with Craig. Heck, we may even talk a little London series with Craig, as he has been all over the place. Craig, it is great to have you hop on with us tonight, buddy. How are you?
Things are great. No complaints at all. It's been a busy couple of weeks, but excited to have baseball back. All the All-Star festivities are over. We actually have baseball this weekend in Memphis, so we're really excited about that.
Yeah, we're going to talk plenty about that, Memphis Redbirds, and talk a little bit about the London series, but you just mentioned a busy couple of weeks. You've been very busy traveling. We talked about it before we went on air, but not only were you at the London series with the Red Sox and Yankees game, but you were at the Women's World Cup game as well. That was an incredible experience, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I've talked to a lot of people about it. The first time I've ever had to experience an event like that. I mean, it's right somewhere towards the top of the list of one of the greatest sporting events I've ever been to. I mean, it combines so many great things of obviously very high level soccer, patriotism. It's emotional to be sitting there and seeing the families, of the athletes in the hotel, them after the game together, and what, the blood, sweat, and tears that, any athlete puts into achieving their goals, and seeing them on that stage, on the world stage, is just, it was amazing. It really was. I mean, to me, it felt like the finals when you were there. Knew there was another game, but it was just like there were 25,000 Americans inside of that stadium, waving flags and singing and having a blast. It was an amazing event.
And Craig, you have your toe dipped in professional soccer, of course, in Memphis. As I mentioned, the president for the Memphis 901 Football Club. And of course, right now the talk in St. Louis is gaining an MLS team, but having a USL team like the STLFC club, just having that soccer atmosphere in the city of Memphis does wonders, doesn't it? I mean, fans come out to support it. You have such a different atmosphere when you got soccer fans and baseball fans. When you bring in multiple sports into a city, it does wonders, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm very happy for St. Louis. Know some of the people inside of that group, and obviously know the USL group. We're Memphis 901 FC will be playing in St. Louis on August 6th. So I invite everybody. I'm going to try and make the trip up there for that game. So we invite everybody to go out and support your local teams on that. But when you have those other sports and bring those things in. Soccer for us, we did a lot of research on it here before we brought in the team to Memphis, and we were an expansion team. This is our first season playing. And what we found was soccer fans, by and large, here in this market and in other places that we did research, they're not necessarily the hardcore fans that you see for us here of their Grizzly fans or their University of Memphis fans, or maybe they're even, basically casual baseball fans. Soccer is their number one love. They eat, sleep, and breathe it. They can tell you more about teams in Europe and Mexico and other places than anything else. So for us, it was an opportunity to engage a brand new audience. We brought people into AutoZone Park over the past, 4 months that we've been playing soccer, that people walk in here. This building's 20 years old, and people walk in and say, this is my first time here. And as someone who runs a venue and as someone who is excited about entertaining people and bringing people together and celebrating sport and celebrating your city, that was really special. And I think to me, that's what, soccer will do in St. Louis at the MLS level. It's what they've been doing with USL, but the MLS level is bringing people together and bringing, it's very diverse, the backgrounds of people who come together for that. It's the world's game. And that's something we have found here in Memphis. It has brought people into AutoZone Park and to downtown that, people who have been here for years looked around and said, where are these people from? Where were they living? And they've always been here, and to be able to bring people together and support your city and rally around a city, no matter what the sport is, it's awesome.
It's such a fun topic to talk about. Again, we're talking with Craig Unger, the president of the Memphis Redbirds, who was just checking out the AAA All-Star Game that took place last night, where Jake Woodford shined, of course, a part of the Memphis Redbirds club representing the Cardinals organization in two perfect innings, Craig. Always great to see a Cardinals prospect put up those numbers in an All-Star Game.
Absolutely. And yeah, I was very excited. I was very excited for him last night. You know, it's you're definitely right. It's when you go out to an All-Star game and a showcase, it's a little bit of a coming out party, because you come in, you know, go down to El Paso. I think a lot of, you know, minor league cities know their own players very well. And especially here, you know, everyone knows the Cardinal prospects because this is Cardinal territory. But to go into another city where, you know, there's a whole bunch of other people there and have the outing that he did, I know he was excited about it. I had a chance to talk to him this morning on the plane ride back. He was very excited about it. And you know, his family was there, had a chance to see it as well. So I think it was a great couple of days in El Paso.
You know, not the best season so far for the Memphis Redbirds, Craig. Of course, underperforming of what the expectations are, I know, for this ball club. But a lot of prospects in the system are continuing to grow and having a lot of recognition for what they're doing this season. And at the end of the day, that's what it's all about, growing these prospects. When you talk about a guy like Jake Woodford, when you talk about a player like Alex Reyes, who's gone through injuries, or heck, even a guy like Randy Arozarena, who's been brought up from the Springfield right. Cardinals this season and is having even more success. Like, that's what it's all about.
Yeah, you know what? We've been very fortunate the past two seasons and, you know, had back-to-back championships and won the national championship last year. But I think when you look at what those championships were about, it's about depth. Mm-hmm. And when you talk about the player development side, I mean, I think last year we used 62 different players on our roster throughout the year. And when you look at a 25-man roster, you can do the math and say that's quite a bit of turnover. So when you look at what that group was able to accomplish over the past 2 years, it speaks more to the player development side, more to the depth side of the organization. And that's really, again, it's, you know, winning is a nice byproduct of what we have. It's always nice to win. But in the end, what we really enjoy seeing, and I know our fans really enjoy seeing, is when the guys get the chance to go up to St. Louis. And, you know, we'll pop the game on the video board here. We'll show highlights when guys, you know, who are here maybe sometimes 24 hours before, you know, get an at bat and get a hit. The ovation that happens here, unfortunately, those guys are never here to see it or hear it. But it's always special for the fans here to be able to see guys to go up and achieve their dreams. And then sometimes come back. But for a lot of times it's go up and then hopefully we see him here at an exhibition game or something. And that's where the reward really is for all of us, is to see guys have that chance to go up to St. Louis.
I was going to say, the Memphis fans must be freaking out when they see the highlights of what Tommy Edman has been doing this year, right?
Yeah, Tommy, you know, he was only here a short amount of time, you know, all things considered, but was a quick fan favorite.
Yeah.
And, you know, when people saw, you know, what he could do here, and he was, he was just a hard-nosed player. He goes out and plays hard every single day, and people loved it. And, again, that was a great example of, you know, someone who got the opportunity and is now making the most of it, and, you know, couldn't be happier for him.
You know, we found out earlier today, Craig, that the Cardinals have recalled a couple of players from the Memphis Redbirds, one Andrew Kisner, who we saw a couple of games up here with the Cardinals because of Yadi's injury. And, unfortunately, Yadi's headed back to the injured list, but Kisner's coming back up. And a player that they haven't seen this season since spring training, Chasen Shreve. What can you tell us about those two guys?
Well, you know what? Andrew was an All-Star as well, and he was in El Paso with the group as well, and you know, has really had a, you know, he's had a great summer here. You know, he's just solid, and then, you know, great kid. Enjoy having him here, and excited for him to get a chance to come back up and spend some time with the big club. You know, and then Chasen, he had an unbelievable June. He was a 1-point-something ERA, and has not walked a lot of people down here. And I think that's when you look at, you know, throwing strikes and that type of stuff. I mean, that is, you know, here is like we see that, and, you know, we take a look at it. You just kind of see that of these guys of they're throwing strikes, they're getting people out. He had a great June, so excited for him as well.
You know, Craig, and again, we're talking with Craig Unger, the president for the Memphis Redbirds, here on the Strike Zone, powered by Graybar and KMOX. It's funny when you talk about the prospect people like to talk about the pitching depth for this Cardinals club, but when you dive into the offense, I think that is the more intriguing factor. And there's a lot of guys with some offensive upside playing for the Memphis Redbirds. We already talked a little bit about Andrew Kisner. We talked a little bit about Randy Arozarena, but you also have players like Lane Thomas, Adolis Garcia, Kramer Robertson, who's been brought up from the Springfield Cardinals. There's an offensive upside in terms of prospects in AAA for this Cardinals organization.
Yeah, absolutely. And Max Schrock, who, who's been, I think, quite a bit talked about throughout the Cardinal organization as well. There are some great players here and, some guys that have some pop in the bat. Look, there's been, I don't think it's any secret about runs scored, and the PCL, the Pacific Coast League, where the league we're in here, has been no different. There have been a lot of high scoring games this year. The PCL is notorious for being a very hitter friendly league. But with that being said, there are a lot of numbers that are, getting big down here, and there are, some guys who can hit the ball, and it's exciting to come down here and watch a game. There are sometimes some high scoring affairs. I know some people like the low scoring, the pitchers duels, but here it's been a lot of fun of a lot of runs scored, and teams are never out of it, which is a lot of fun.
That's awesome. A couple more minutes with Craig Unger. Craig, what can you tell us about Alex Reyes? I know he's been kind of rehabbing and trying to get the arm right after a couple of rough injuries this season. But what can you tell us about what you see when Alex Reyes is on the mound?
Well, I think he's from seeing him last year when he made his one start here, is he's special. And I think every time you watch him, I'm a fan, and that for me is what is that's what's so exciting, is you watch him pitch and it's special, it's different. The ease of which he pitches is just, it's beautiful, and that's what's really exciting. And our fans have, come out. They were excited to have him back here. We'll be more excited when he can go back up to St. Louis and help the big club. I think that's ultimately what we all want to see.
I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you, Craig, about the London series, Yankees and Red Sox, that you were at a couple of weeks ago. And I know the atmosphere was very interesting. I talked with Bob Nightingale of USA Today. He said at some point it felt like some of the fans in London didn't even realize there was a baseball game going on, but it was well represented by baseball fans. Yankees and Red Sox fans packed that stadium.
Yeah, it was. It was. Early on in the first game, I thought it was a predominantly Yankee crowd because the Yankees were scoring all the runs, and then all of a sudden the Red Sox came alive, and all of a sudden you're like, well, this is split a little bit more 50-50 than maybe what we thought, sitting there. But I think there was some truth that there are baseball fans there. I was in a cab headed back from the grounds at one point, and talked to the cab driver, and he was like, I'm a baseball fan. Me and my daughter watch games. So he was excited about having it there. You had that angle, and then you had the other opposite side, is you had some people sitting around you who were trying to add up the runs, hits, and errors columns together to make the score. Someone would get a hit, and they're like, now it's 4-3. And you're like, no, that's not quite how that works. I think the one sort of side note on this, if people haven't spent a lot of time in Europe and at sporting events over there. When you look at, they played at, West Ham United's soccer grounds at the football stadium there. It is, during soccer matches, it is against the law to be able to hold a beer, be drinking a beer, and seeing the field at the same time.
Wow.
So if you're at a Premier League game at West Ham, if anyone who's ever been there, or all the fans who went to that, they have never been able to sit in the stands and watch a sporting event and drink a beer until baseball was there. And that became like the greatest thing in the world to them, was that, as a baseball fan, we can debate, times of games, et cetera. I mean, it was, Saturday's game was long. It was a classic Yankees Red Sox game of, 4.5 hours. I think the final score was 17-14. If you ask the people from London, and ask the people from England who were there, it was the greatest 4.5 hours of their lives. They could have a beer and watching a sporting event, which was a funny little anecdote. Sort of fits into what Bob's, said about it, is that, at some point they were just having a party, and it was just fun.
I was going to say, that is one way to make baseball fans out of everyone. Let them drink
Absolutely.
Beer. Let them drink beer and watch the sport.
Beer and baseball. It is a universal language. That's what I'm saying.
There is no doubt about it. Craig Unger, it is a pleasure to get to have you on with us tonight. Thank you so much. It's great to find out about the travels, and I love following along on your Twitter account to see where you're at. It's so much fun. Again, if you could follow him on Twitter, it's at MemphisGM. Good luck the rest of the season for the Memphis Redbirds, and I know we'll be catching up down the road.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
There you go. Craig Unger, drinking beer in London. That's incredible. By the way, Cardinals playing in London next year. Those are pretty sold-out games. I mean, despite people in London not showing as much interest, at least that's what Bob Nightingale and I had talked about a couple of weeks ago, still pretty cool playing that game in London in a stadium where soccer's normally played and drinking beer. No better way to do it. We'll wrap things up and get you set for tomorrow night's series opener against the Diamondbacks next. And that is going to wrap it up for us tonight here on the Strike Zone. Stretch Run starts tomorrow night, 7:15. Adam Wainwright on the mound against Robbie Ray for the Arizona Diamondbacks. Diamondbacks 13.5 games out of their division lead, which is held by the Dodgers. Cardinals 2 games back. Both teams looking to do some damage here once the second half starts up. And with Waino on the mound, you know you're going to get a good performance because, one, it's at Busch Stadium, and two, he was one of your best pitchers in the final couple weeks going into the All-Star break. And the weekend is Wainwright, Hudson, Michaelis. And it's Greinke, Kelly, and then, as I mentioned, Ray tomorrow night. So the Cardinals will have to find a way to get their offense rolling. We'll see what that response will be. We'll see what the lineup looks like with Matt Carpenter off the injured list. And of course, no Yadier Molina. Trying to find positions for Jairo Munoz, Tommy Edman, at-bats for all of those players, and so much more. And then of course, the trade deadline. The chatter continues up until the July 31st deadline, and we will keep you posted of all of that as we move along throughout this stretch run here on KMOX. And always, your home for Cardinals baseball. Our pregame tomorrow night is at 6:20. Mike Shannon and John Rooney with the first pitch at 7:15. A big thank you to Ben Boyd for all of his help tonight, getting the guests lined up. All of our guests, thank you for joining us. Of course, Alex Muskoff helping us out here as well. And to you for joining us this evening here on the Strike Zone. If you missed any of it, you could check it out on the podcast. Wherever you get your podcast, check out the Sports Open Line and look for the Strike Zone. Thank you for joining us tonight. We'll talk to you tomorrow for Cardinals and Diamondbacks, first of three at Busch Stadium, right here in your home for Cardinals baseball, KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.